Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, everyone. Alex here, just taking a moment to give you an update on our Patreon. We've been reading out Patreon names at the start of all of our shows for a while now as a way of saying thanks to our contributors. However, thanks to having such an amazingly generous fan base, our Patreon has actually been growing a lot faster than we had ever hoped, and we've ended up falling a bit behind in our shoutouts. As a result, starting from now, we're going to be increasing the number of names we read at the start of episodes to reduce the waiting time, and reviewing our records to make sure we haven't missed anyone. This does mean that the thanks segment before every episode will run slightly longer than it has previously, but it's the only way we can make sure we give proper credit to the people who make our content possible. So with that, I just personally wanted to say thanks to everyone for your patience and understanding, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Shara Rossichan, The Zen Scientist, Rexy Adar, David Durand, Anne Polman, Neil Kelly, Zhigray, Ian Moran, Sean McMahon, Xander, Wizard of the Citadel under Hidden Rivers, etc. Kate F., Morrow Grove, Elizabeth Cornwell, Kerry Lloyd, Casey Peevler, Flighty Broad, Rebecca Coffey, Tatum B., Addy Batts, Gladys Gonzalez.
Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hello and welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host Ben Meredith, and this week I have with me
Helen Gould,
Alex Neil,
Sasha Sienna,
and who are you playing?
Cleo, that's my name.
Yes.
Sam.
Betty.
Cool. Yeah, so this is our Monster of the Week special, where we're going to run through a one-shot of the Powered by Apocalypse game. Monster of the Week, should have mentioned last week, it's by Michael Sands, published by Evil Hat Productions. So thanks for those people for making it a possible game that we
thanks
can play
for doing the thing
now
you do
in this room. So, last week, obviously, if you haven't, go listen to that if you're interested in a sort of Session Zero thing where the players discuss which playbooks they'd like to take part in.
Oh, get Ben now he's sending people back to previous episodes instead of just criticising people for joining halfway through.
Okay, so when
shoes
people join...
Shoes on the other foot now!
Yeah. that's fair enough. Anyway... Yeah, so we went through sort of the playbooks people have been doing. We developed the characters and we developed their sort of relationships to one another. In summary, we have this kind of strange little dysfunctional hunter family where Cleo's love, Bet, was killed by a cult dedicated to the demon Malthus. Cleo went mad, well, sort of broke at that moment, killed all the cultists, burned down the house, and also did irreparable damage to the relationship between Cleo and Bet. Bet, who died, question mark, but actually sort of didn't, became a ghost, saw what happened, and decided that, you know, for the sake of the relationship, they couldn't possibly be super involved with Cleo anymore. After this occurs, after Bet is sort of watching Cleo from afar, oh, Bet changed her name to Betty in sort of a masterstroke of disguise.
Yeah, and I think it's Betsy.
Put some glasses on, I think, as well.
Yeah, and a hat.
And rendering her completely unrecognisable to Cleo.
Oh, yes, you can kill clothes, I forgot.
Yeah.
You could kill a pair of glasses. No one will know.
Just...
So then Cleo and Sam meet each other because Sam ran over a warped demon cultist with their car before it could kill Cleo. And then Cleo immediately saved Sam from the angry, now hit by a car, warped demon cultist.
Ah, you fool.
Then Sam noticed Betty stalking Cleo and, you know, that pair, thought, oh, look, another monster. Let's kill the monster because I'm
car,
a hunter now.
I choose you.
Try to drive through a ghost with a car. Didn't work. Car went through ghost. Ghost didn't really care.
But nice try.
Yeah. But then was saved from
I hit a police car.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that I plowed straight into like a police van or something.
So Betty then got Sam out of that sticky situation, thus earning Sam's eternal respect and admiration. And that kind of has brought those three together. So they're currently like driving around the English countryside in a rusty old Mustang Boss 302.
Remember the Homer family.
Sam stole from their dad.
Yeah.
Before he'd completely finished restoring it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we find them after a string of partially successful hunts. There was a chupacabra in Chichester, a werewolf in Worthing, and then a banshee in Brighton, which they just kind of dealt with.
Well, get that mummy in Manchester.
And then I promise you that this actual thing doesn't alliterate this time.
Yeah, I know. That's my big clue.
I've ruined it. Sorry. But yes, you have posted up on a sort of roadside rest stop. And let's say Cleo, actually probably Cleo, because she's an adult who can touch objects.
Wow.
Which marks you out as very, very unique in this little...
No, I can touch things too.
You are definitely not an adult.
So you're having a nice read of the local Brighton paper, The Argus. Yeah, see? That's real. That's true. That is true.
I do love a bit of local journalism.
Yeah, and you don't have a mission on at the moment. You don't have any sort of purpose. It's because obviously a hunter's purpose is to hunt, and there is no hunt on. And there's no leads as to the whereabouts of the cult of Malthus or Malthus themselves. So you're kind of trawling through the big headlines, and you get to the back, and there's sort of a little bit of a fluff kind of like, ooh, curiosity piece about a series of horrible livestock deaths in a village in Roeminster, which is about 20 miles up the road, sort of into the Sussex Downs, which looks, well, particularly brutal and not immediately supernatural, but, you know, there is a darker side to the world. And, I mean, who just murders cows horribly?
Sounds like Roeminster rabbits to me.
But yes, so that's where we find you guys all sort of sitting there. I don't know how you work, really. I mean, who drives the car?
I think you're fine. It's my car.
Okay, so...
I'm filling it up, because that's what I do.
At the petrol station, like an
adult.
With
all the other grown-ups.
Yep.
I can see the price. I'm just choosing not to look at it all the way up there.
I think I sometimes take over driving if we are likely to be spotted by other adults.
And Betty cannot drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, passes through things that are objects, but not people. So the way that I envisage you being able to sit in a car is by having to sit on somebody's lap.
Yeah, presumably you're sat.
Or holding onto their shoulder and sort of being dragged along. As effectively the person moves at around about 50 miles an hour and you're not contained by the car.
Clutched on someone.
I've kind of assumed that it worked much like R.L. Stein's masterpiece of The Ghost Next Door. And so when it's relevant to the plot... I can interact with objects, and when it's better for the plot that I go right through them, I'll go right through them.
I think on reflection, I am going to have to defer to the master on this one. So, yes, you can sit in the car.
I didn't see anything in your character sheet that said you couldn't float at hundreds of miles an hour.
That's true.
He's just hanging out outside the window.
I am reticent to establish this ability. Anyway, yeah, so we find you at like a roadside rest stop, petrol station. So Sam is filling up the car. You're reclining with your copy of the Argus, and maybe it's the 70s, so I'm going to assume a bad cup of tea. I think food was just like bad in the 70s. We've all seen those like dinner party things where people go like, mash some tuna into a cone, put mayonnaise on it and ram a stick of celery, and you've got yourself a fun little clown dish.
Yeah, meat jellies and things like
that. Yeah.
Oh,
everything is preserved but brown. So you've got yourself a cup of whatever that is, but it passes
a
for tea.
A cup of brown.
As far as I'm aware, you have a cup of tuna. And
what is Betty up to? How does Betty spend her downtime in as a ghost?
I mean, staring at Cleo, obviously. I think she's probably mastered the art of, like, being bored, you know, because she can't really interact with a lot. I'm guessing that things like the local Living World paper is not super interesting to her. I think she reads a lot of, like, fantasy novels and other, you know, things where she can find some representation of dead people, you know.
I've just because you can kill clothes, right, to wear clothes.
Yeah.
I assume you tear books in half and you get the spirit of the book that you can actually read and interact
with.
Yeah,
I think that sounds great.
And also, so the Mustang, given that it basically died and was half restored,
it's an undead car, so I can ride in that.
And it's the only car that you know of that you can actually interact with.
Makes
so
sense.
There we go.
Also,
you don't have to sit in my lap.
She is super into like 60s culture, I've decided. So like her voice, she's not using her real voice because she doesn't want Cleo to recognize her. She got discovered. So she is basically putting on the voice of Diana Rigg in The Avengers. And I think she's probably super into like listening to the Rolling Stones and watching 60s TV like, you know,
and
hunting down Mary Quant's to rip in half.
Very important that we establish that you can interact with the Mustang stereo, which does work sometimes. Anyway, so we're in this scene and Cleo just comes across this article. So what do you do?
I say there's some very suspicious looking cow deaths over in Romanster. I think we should investigate.
I mean, it's just cows.
Yeah, but they've had their guts all pulled out and put in weird circle shapes.
I mean, honestly, they just sound like they're more ready to be burgers, but okay.
No, that's not how you make cows into burgers.
I mean, that's basically what a cow is, right? It's a burger with legs.
You're so young.
I mean, whatever. I continue filling up the Mustang. It's full. I'm spilling petrol.
Stop that.
The attendant runs over and goes, oh, whoa, you might want to stop there. You can settle up and maybe let's not get gasoline all over.
Don't tell me how to use my petrol.
I'm going to tell you how to use my petrol station, so we're going to... I'm going to ring this up.
My money's as good here as anywhere else.
It is.
Please don't argue with the nice man. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, don't argue with me.
Get in the car.
That will be an appropriate amount of money to fill up a gas tank.
It's a shilling. Keep the change.
I think we've moved beyond that, as far as I know. But you know what? I'm going to accept it.
It's a collector's item now.
Ooh, very valuable. The fools. I shall sell this for far more than the price of that tank of petrol. And so, sated, the petrol station manager walks back to their little hut.
Gosh, I'm going to have to get used to the 70s thing.
I mean, I have no idea if that's how petrol stations work in the 70s, but let's say it is. I'm the universe. Woo!
Woo!
Okay.
It's my version of the 70s.
All right, then.
You ready, Betty?
Of course. Always. Did it say anything about the kind of entrail?
Entrails are entrails.
Dead, probably.
Demonic.
No,
patterns,
I figured they'd be dead, but did it say what exactly had happened to the entrails?
Oh, you think maybe you could have, like, ghost entrails for something?
I was thinking more that if it's in a pattern or a word or phrase, then
that could work.
Might be something to look into.
Just says weird formations here.
Sure.
I immediately hop into the driving seat before anyone can stop me. I mean, we've paid. I mean, I'm probably even going to use a seatbelt because seatbelt's cool.
Okay, I sigh deeply and get into the passenger side.
I start driving, unaware of where Romanster is.
Okay, yes, I get the map out.
Yeah. The map, which is, of course, in the glove compartment because...
Oh, yes.
It's the age before sat-navs are barbaric, timeless. Yeah, and you start making your way to Roemünster. So it is a actually quite beautiful late summer afternoon as you trundle up. You're going through the South Downs, so it's rolling green hills and beautiful idyllic forests. So it's very, like, it is extremely pleasant. And you turn yourself off of the A road into some lanes, and they slowly get narrower and narrower and narrower as you get towards Roemünster. And then you finally find yourself at a little sign that says, "Welcome to Roemünster, population 400. It's in sort of a bowl valley, so nestled in the hills. It's surrounded by, on the east side, agricultural fields. And then on the west, there's sort of a small wood. It's a wooded area that used to be part of a much larger forest. So it's got that old feeling, but it's quite small as an area. This place is basically a collection of houses around the lane or the small road running through it. There is one church, there is one store, there is the village hall. And then really it's a loose collection of farmhouses that come, you know, this is their closest place. Or there are a few residents, there are a few commuters who live here and then commuters that are sort of larger towns to do, you know, office work, or some of them work in local government, that kind of thing. So you find yourself here. What do you do? How would you like to approach the situation?
Sorry, are we at the farm?
No, you're at the outskirts of Roemünster. Oh, right. So there's a couple of options. You could question the townspeople. You could go straight to the scene of the, I'm not going to say crime, but, you know. Actually, no, killing livestock unlawfully, that's a crime. The scene of the crime.
I think we should go and linger in the public house.
There is, in fact, a public house.
Yeah!
And see what gossip we pick up.
Yeah, we should. We should all go to there. We should go there right now.
I'm not buying you any alcohol.
You don't need... My money's as good here as it is anywhere else, thank you.
All right, sir.
I definitely immediately beeline to what I think is the nearest public house.
Cool. It's really obvious because this is a small village and there's one pub.
It's definitely pulling up outside.
Yep, so you can pull into the car park. It's called the Moonlight on the Pond.
Aww.
And it's very old-fashioned, you know, sort of a... proper almost wattle and daub kind of look to it. It's an old coaching inn sort of feeling.
Yeah.
So you walk inside, everything is very brown. Even though it's summer, there is a fire burning, so
a
it's
good
very
British pub.
Stiflingly hot. There are maybe three other patrons in there, as well as the bartender.
Okay. I go up to the bar.
Cool. So actually, at this point, I feel like it might be useful to explain the sort of basic moves and the things that you can start to do. So sort of start to interact.
Yes, please.
Chug, strawpedo, yard of... Yeah, they sort of do some checkout.
So, you have acting under pressure, which is used for any difficult or dangerous action that isn't covered by another move. You have help out, to help another hunter do something. If you succeed, you give them a bonus on their task. Investigate a mystery, which is used to work out what kind of monster you are dealing with, what it can do, and what it's planning. Kick some ass, which is used for fighting, mainly fighting monsters. Manipulate somebody, which is used to try and get someone to do something for you after you give them some kind of reason. Protecting someone, which is used to save someone from danger. Reading a bad situation, which is used to work out what danger is immediately threatening you. Or use magic, which is used to cast magic spells or use enchanted items.
Cool.
So, what are you planning to do? With that information, you don't have to use a move right away, but now you're armed with that sort of stuff.
I am going to chat up the bartender.
Okay, so you walk over to the bartender, who is a large, ruddy-faced man in sort of an open shirt with a waistcoat. Very much looks like a farmer.
Oh.
Yeah, so his shirt is rolled up, it's open a bit, and you can see sort of his vest below it. And as you walk in, he says, "Oh, what can I do for you?"
"Hello, sir. Can you recommend some beer for me?"
"Some beer? Yes, of course. We've got the sort of local, the Roemünster beers."
"Oh,
or...
I'm sure anything local would be absolutely fantastic."
"Ale or lager, are you more of a... or spirits, of course, for the lady?"
"I am the lady."
Would the lady like some spirits, or..."
"I said beer."
"Okay, yep. Of course, a beer. A beer, of course. Yes, a beer. A half pint?"
"Pint!"
"So it's a pint and a half pint?"
"A pint and a half each, yeah. That's an appropriate amount."
Three pints.
"One pint and one lemonade."
"Okay, and for yourself?" Looking at Betty,
yeah.
We are an audio medium.
I'll have a spirit.
And which spirit would you like?"
"I think House's Choice, surprise me."
"Yes, of course. Right, give me just a second." And he sort of busies himself pouring out three pints of the local ale and a spirit, which I'm going to say is gin. I don't know what they drank in the the 70s, I assume it's just gin is fine.
People pretty much drink gin for as long as people had gin, so yeah, you're good.
Listen, you can't drive the car and have alcohol at the same time.
It's the 70s. This is just a liquid lunch. There isn't the stigma that I'm sure will come along, and rightfully so, because it's a terrible thing to do.
I feel in my bones that it's a bad idea.
But yet, I'm sure history's on my side, coach.
So, yes, 3 pints of the local and a gin and tonic for the...
Thanks, my good man.
For you.
I take all 3 of the pints.
I'll just concentrate so hard on picking up this gin and tonic.
Sure, which you are able to do if you, yeah, concentrate really hard.
Humming under your breath. Oh, my darling, I'm hungry.
Come on.
So I heard there's been some disturbing activity in this town lately.
Oh, what?
With the cows.
The cows? Yeah. Yeah, that's a bad business, I think, yeah. I don't really know what the farrows are going to be honest. You know,
the farrows?
Yeah, it's their farm. Half their livestock are just gone now.
Wow.
Strangest thing. I don't know what the motive might be or anything like that. No idea, to be honest. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't possibly say, really. Anyway, back to the... I need to talk to some of these other patrons. So.
Where are the farrows?
Oh, the farrows?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to... Why don't... Wait, are you...
Burger salesman, yep.
I was going to say journalists.
I can do 2 jobs. Life's tough. Gotta make ends meet.
We're
journalists for a burger magazine.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to make a move at this point, which is definitely manipulate somebody.
Yes.
Because that could have been a simple question, but...
But I'm helping.
Alexander! All right.
So,
Sam.
Manipulate someone... Okay, so I have to roll plus charm, and my charm is on the other sheet.
And just to complicate things further, is it worth me trying to help a fellow hunter, which I believe is another action?
Okay, I've got
yeah,
charm
so
plus
you
one.
You can do this after the result is rolled, and
okay.
Also I'm going to say, no, you can't, because you caused the situation.
This is very
true. If Betty wants to, you know, basically
you can
help if you justify it. But also, as I said, like, you can actually roll after the result is known, so you can know if it's worth you helping out.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Okay, so I want to manipulate the bartender into telling us where to find the partner. That is an 8.
Okay, so an 8. So that is a mixed success. What does it say on the 8?
They'll do it, but only if you do something for them right now to show them that you mean it. If you ask too much, they'll tell you what, if anything, it would take for them to do it.
Okay, so what you're trying to do is find out where the pharaohs are,
yeah.
Despite this person obviously knowing that you are not neither journalists nor burger salesmen. How would you like to try and do that?
What might a bartender want?
I mean, I'm gonna throw out 2 things, which is money and not to have their head kicked in.
Those tend to be like universals.
Those aren't the only approaches, but you know.
Yes. I'm not sure how much money Cleo has, so it's probably going to have to be a not getting his head kicked in thing.
Okay.
Cleo unobtrusively takes out her knife and puts it on the bar and says, I suggest that you tell us where to find these pharaohs because we're on very important business.
And Cleo's hard as nails.
Thank you, Sam.
Okay. I don't want any trouble. This is a nice, normal pub.
Well, I would hate to give you trouble.
Okay. So. And he bends under the bar and puts a large shotgun.
Oh, that's wicked!
So. As I said, I don't want to scare any of the other patrons or cause a scene. So I'm going to tell you what you want to know, but you're all going to leave immediately after that.
Deal.
Okay. So, the Farrow Farm, if you... And he puts the shotgun back under the bar.
I put the knife back in my belt.
Right. So, turn left out of the door, go up 3 houses as a small lane, follow the lane to the end, and you'll find yourself at the Farrow Farm. Okay?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Brilliant.
She takes one of the pints of beer with her as she goes.
I take the other 2.
Okay. Let's make a note of that.
I mean, presumably they're already poured as well, so...
Yeah, yeah, no, he's made the drinks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we paid for them. You got to keep the glasses, don't you? I mean, that's a thing, so...
Well, we'll have to keep them since we can't go back in there now.
And you walk out into the bright summer sun.
Getting back into my car, pipe in each hand.
Oh, man, this always happens. I start out intending to be sweet and flirtatious, but it just ends up in knives.
Could have... Yeah, fair. So, you head over to the Farrow Farm then, yep?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, as you head up there, there isn't actually that much going on. You might expect a little bit more of a media circus, but it's a small village. It's not huge news. There are a couple of cars sort of parked just off of the driveway. So there's a long driveway towards the farmhouse surrounded by fields, but then you can see a couple of cars sort of parked to the side. One of them's looking pretty flash, doesn't look like a farmer's car, so you expect maybe, you know, that might be someone here because of the cows. But yeah, as you make your approach, you're not, you know, no one introduces themselves, no one calls out, so you're outside the farmhouse.
Mm. Betty, would you like to go and do a bit of ghostly spying for us?
Of course. We're not going with the burger thing again, are we?
No, let's not.
Excellent. I'm going to try and sneak around.
Okay,
cool. And see how close I can get without anybody noticing me.
Sure thing.
That... I mean, I'm incorporeal, but it's not really like, I'm not invisible.
You're trying not to be seen. So I think that's an act under pressure.
But, yeah.
So
okay.
When you say you're sneaking about, are you like ghosting into the house or?
No,
you...
I want to go to the fields specifically rather than the house. So ghosting through the fences, I guess, rather than through the house.
Okay. To be honest, I don't think this is the kind of thing that really needs a role at this point. So yeah, you have a look around, obviously not bothering to hop fences.
Yeah.
Because it's not entirely necessary. And you see one of the fields a bit further out, there is a bunch of movement. There seems to be some people moving around. Assumedly, this is the place where some cows were horribly murdered. So yeah, so that's what you find out.
Okay.
I mean, unless you want to go up and listen in on the conversation or...
Well, is it enough people that if I went back to get the others, they would blend in? Or is it... Not that many people.
No, there's like three people there.
Oh, then yeah, I'd like to go and listen in.
Okay.
Yeah. Snoop for all your worth.
Okay, so that would probably be an act under pressure, yep. But before we make that roll, I think we're going to take a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we're back. So... Betty, I think you were just about to snoop around and try and listen in on the conversation that's going on in that field. So
I was.
Make me an act under pressure roll, please.
Oh, so that's a 9. Yeah, okay, so it's an 8.
10 plus is a success. 7 to 9 is you get a worse outcome. And on a miss, quote, things go to hell.
Cool. Okay, so yeah, you kind of start to walk up and you soon realise that the field itself is very open. There's not really any cover and the people are not talking loudly enough or not close enough to a hedge for you to actually be within earshot. Basically, your choice is either you can reveal yourself to try and listen in or go back and remain unseen.
I think I'll reveal myself. So I will just walk up looking a little lost and sort of wave at them. Being like, hello there, hello.
So one of the men sort of turns round, looking pretty flustered and pretty stressed out. He's got sort of big bags under his eyes. Looks like he's not sleeping too well. He's like, yes, sorry. How can it? What? I'm sorry. What are you doing here?
Hello, sorry. It's Betty Jones. I am from the Guardian in London, and I heard that there was a crime here. So I just. Was hoping. I'm so sorry. I'm not really one for the country, so I wonder if you could perhaps show me around, or.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, sorry. I'm Andy Farrow. I run the farm here. I'm so. Yeah. Sorry. I'm still trying to work out exactly what happened. So I mean, look. We've already had some newspapers here. Is there anything else you want to know? I'm not sure if there's anything. I don't know why they got dead cows. I mean, it's important to me, but I don't.
Well, the Guardian feels very much that, of course, we've been very London-centric recently, and we would very much like to see the wider side of Britain and to hear about the problems befalling the agricultural side of the community. The agricultural side of the community is so important. Wouldn't you say you are the backbone of this country, feeding Britons up and down? So we just wanted to hear your side of what the struggles that you face on a day-to-day basis are, such as half of your flock herd, being killed in this grisly manner.
So, rural news then.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, a couple of days ago, I had a full herd, and then one night, obviously, you know, it's summer, we let them sort of graze openly. It's pretty safe, or was pretty safe around here. And then a couple of days ago, we woke up and well, this, and he sort of gestures around the field. So looking around, you see there are two other men here, and one of whom is sort of dressed in very sort of hardy clothes, like not a uniform, but like heavy tweeds, this kind of stuff, has some great big gloves and is kind of really getting involved in some of the guts of the cows, and looks like they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the other person is sort of just hanging about, also looking just a bit confused and a bit lost. But yeah, there are about 15 dead cows here, and they have all been ripped apart, like completely ripped apart. There are bits everywhere. There are a lot of flies because it's hot. It's been a couple of days. It's really not very pleasant. If you had a living stomach, it might be turning, but of course you don't. So whatever. You've died, so cows can die too. I don't know. C'est la vie, man.
Are there just a bunch of ghost cows wandering around getting in the way?
There are not.
Oh.
A clue. It's not a clue.
So I can guess they haven't been killed by cultists. Oh, and so this looks like it's an unusual problem.
Yeah?
Yes. That doesn't... When exactly did this happen?
Well, so a couple of days ago on the Thursday morning, like Wednesday night, they were fine. Everyone was happy. It was all good. And then Thursday, this. And I've got the other half of the herd like in the barn now because I don't know
what's going to happen. Oh, of course, very sensible. So you didn't hear anything through the night?
Well, there was some sort of panic noises, but honestly, like, they're cows. They sometimes freak themselves out. We've had that before. Nothing's happened. Like, what's going to do this? It's not like there are bears or wolves here. This is Sussex. I don't know who would have done this, for what reason, or what would have been able to do this if it wasn't a person. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't... Do you have anything specific you want to know, or...?
I wonder if I could talk to the two gentlemen that you're with, get a quote from each of them.
Right. Sure. I guess so. Francis? He calls over to the other confused-looking man who's, like, looks to be about 20, early 20s sort of thing. So this guy is... So Andrew's, like, in his mid-50s. Yeah, so Francis turns around and goes, what's up, Dad? He's like, there's a journalist from The Guardian who wants to ask you some questions. And Francis goes a bit pale, because this is quite scary if you're a 20-something farmer. Like, oh, The Guardian wants to talk to you. Great. And he kind of comes over and says, oh, hey... What do you want?
Hello, Francis. So I'm from The Guardian. We're just learning a bit about rural Britain and the agricultural industry, and obviously this is an...
Oh, you've spoken to my dad, right?
Yes, but I just wondered if I could get your perspective on these terrible events.
I'm definitely wandering off at this point.
Oh, my God.
I am categorically wandering off.
When you say off, what do you mean?
I might nonchalantly have a wander around the cows, but unless I see anything immediately obvious... I mean, I'm probably going to go... Is there any woodland nearby, or is it, like, open fields?
So it's open fields, and then beyond this field, it starts to become woodland. So there's, like, it's kind of... The farm has been carved out of the woods, effectively. Yeah, yeah. So you're on the edge of the woods, but sort of behind you is all fields, and then the town, and then the village, and then in front of you is sort of woodland.
About 5 minutes after you go, I suddenly notice that you're gone and go looking for you then.
Okay. All right, so we'll leave the journalist...
Feel free to continue the comment. It's just, I know exactly how long I can last. I'm definitely wandering around.
What's your... purpose? What's your point?
My point is, I'm assuming that something has come and killed some cows, so I'm having a look for things like tracks and things.
Cool. Excellent. Would you like to investigate a mystery?
Nah. I mean, yeah.
All right, fine. I will go back to...
Nothing to see here. So, double roll on investigate. Have I got anything else? Nope. Ooh. Double sixes.
So that's a 12. That's so a 12. What is investigate a mystery plus?
When you investigate a mystery, roll sharp. So, I add my sharp as well.
I think you're an unequivocal success.
13?
Yeah, you're an unequivocal success.
On a 10 plus, hold 2.
So a hold is something that could be spent right away on the questions, which are just below.
So you've got 2 questions.
Ah, yeah, one hold can be spent to ask the keeper one of the following questions.
Yep, so you can ask me up to 2 questions.
The questions I can have are, what happened here? Some cows died, I'm fairly certain.
Why don't I provide the answers and you just read out the questions?
Sure. What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What was it going to do? What is being concealed here?
I think we should find out where it is. in my opinion.
And apparently the keeper can ask, how do you find that out? And if I don't have a good answer, you don't get to ask that question.
What?
So if I'm like, what's well, the creature weak against? How could you possibly know this?
It has to be within reasonable limitations because it's not like a mystical power where it's the knowledge is imparted to your brain.
It dropped an allergies card?
Basically it's asking you to justify the questions.
I'm going to be investigating straight out of the gate what sort of creature is it, insofar as I'm looking for things like tracks, I'm looking for, you know, signs of an obvious human. If I'm finding, like, a discarded piece of litter or something that's, like, related to it, it's probably something person-ish. So that's my first question if I get two questions.
Okay. So, you go looking for tracks, and you find nothing. But not, oh, well, do you just not notice something? You scour it. You've done this before. You know what some tracks look like. Obviously, you track down that chupacabra in Chichester.
Oh, yeah.
Track down that werewolf in Worthing. You know, they leave obvious tracks, and
you were
the one who found
Manchester
it.
Manchester mummy!
There are no tracks. There's nothing.
Okay. Then the second question... Well, I can't ask where did it go. I can't really get what can hurt it. So I think for my second question, I will ask, what can it do?
Okay, and when you say what can it do, so what are you looking for
so
to try and ascertain?
So I found no
that?
Tracks, and I'm still bored because Betty's just doing a Betty. So I just kind of amble, sidle my way back in, and then just start poking around dead cows.
Sure.
Seeing, like, you know, claw marks... Does it eat them? You know, there's lots of things you can learn from poking around dead cows.
Okay. Basically, you've kind of been helped out in doing this by Betty. So she is distracted, two of the individuals, and the other person is, well, elbow deep in a cow, so is concentrating on that.
Living the dream.
You kind of have a wander around. I will also mention that, Cleo, as you go to try and find Sam, you then see them wandering around this field of dead cows.
For God's sake.
So... What you notice is that these cows, they're big. But cows, they're big, powerful animals, and they have been just torn apart. So whatever did this is must be extremely strong or extremely large, or maybe both. Also, a lot of the fleshy bits have been eaten. So there are a lot of dead cows, but a lot of those parts of those cows are missing. So it looks like these weren't, you know, it didn't cut their throats and do that. You also have a look and you don't see any weapon marks, as it were. It looks like this may have been done with claws and teeth.
Cool. So it's not killing for sport and it has animal things going on. Okay.
One thing you do notice, however, is that a couple of the cows are a bit different. These are the cows sort of nearer to the farm. And there are two of them that do look less eaten. And their guts have been displayed in those weird patterns that Cleo was mentioning.
Okay. Mm.
So there are two that are very different in how they've been, or, you know, the corpses are very different.
Well, that's certainly my move. I think I've gotten enough info to be thinking.
Cool. So, Betty, well, I guess, what are you trying to achieve with this conversation?
So I really want to just kind of keep some small talk going, because what I really want to look at is the weird patterns of the entrails. I'm basically trying to see if I think this might be a cult thing or a ritual thing.
Okay.
So if I can maybe kind of like be talking but looking past
This is going to be a manipulate someone, because you're trying to get them to let you do what you want. Now it's whether you want to approach this by straight up asking them if you can take a look, or, as you say, kind of having a bit of a side eye while that's happening.
I guess I just said I was trying to have a side eye.
Sure, okay.
Been smarter to just ask straight up, but never mind. She's a ghost, she's got other things on her mind. Okay, that's an 8, but I think I get a -1 for being creepy. I do! 7, still. Yeah.
Sure, so that's the old, you'll get what you want, but you have to give them something. So I'm going to say what you give them is, so when Francis opens up, Francis really opens up. Is talking a lot about the minutiae of growing up in a village, being a farmer's son, all this kind of stuff. Obviously, to keep up the charade, you need to take notes and you can't just blow them off. So, while you're doing this and while you're otherwise engaged, you manage to take a look at the symbols. They look like they have been done purposefully. The two are very similar and they look to be forming like some sort of arcane patternage, but you don't know, that it's nothing you recognise, especially not in your demon cult experience. But I will jump over to Cleo and ask, what are you doing?
I've been carefully following Sam, and once I see you going over to poke some cows, I'm going to try and unobtrusively drag you away and be like, no, this was a Betty thing. Betty is the one who's good at sneaking. Oh, the getaway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just looking, you know. It's definitely a big animal, though, isn't it?
Yes, that's what a cow is.
That's not really what I meant. Like,
just come back into the cover.
So, fine. As per your conversation, the man who's got his arms in a cow looks up and says, can I help you?
Oh, yes, my nephew.
Sure, that's me. Gee whiz. Etc.
He's interested in... we were just hiking, and I think we may have accidentally come onto a farm. Very sorry about that.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, you might want to sort of move off. There's a lot of gestures generally to the corpses.
Oh, shucks. Where did they come from?
Yeah, there might be... There is a risk of disease, so I'd recommend you vacate the premises.
Oh, what disease?
I mean, various, like, not really specific, but corpses tend to accrue.
Yeah.
So it's not anyway, if you'd like to move on, maybe? I'm not sure you're supposed to be here.
Come along, Sam.
Yes, auntie, my old haggard auntie. We should move on, shouldn't we?
I'm going to get you later.
Yeah, I'm going to get you first. I got a gun.
So you... grumble off?
Yes. So.
Okay, this guy goes back to his work. So back
Stay
to Betty.
Stay in the car.
So, Francis seems to have run out of steam now, but you do have the underpinnings for a very interesting story about, you know, a sort of piece about rural life. If you were, in fact, a journalist, it would be quite useful. How are you trying to sort of follow on? To get any more information really about the markings and stuff, you might have to actually directly approach it.
Yeah, so I will at this point say, like, well, thank you so much.
Thanks. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, no, that was, it was good. It was good to talk. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad. Great. I wonder if I might actually have a look at the cows.
Oh, yes, I guess so. Dr. Stan, and he calls over to the person who's sort of in a cow who looks up again and says...
Sorry, in a cow. Well, it's just a great phrase. I really like it.
Like a tauntaun.
Hello?
Yes, Francis, what's... Oh, sorry, there's a lady from the Guardian here. She wants to have a look around. Is that okay? Yeah, I suppose if it's press, but just don't touch anything, okay? And, yeah, it goes back. And so Francis is like, oh, yeah, no, please. And Andrew... Oh, so many names. Andrew Farrow is kind of backed off a bit and is just looking at his decimated herd. It's like, well, this is a thing that's happened.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So yeah, you get a bit of a closer look then.
Can I see any more detail now that I'm up close, head in the entrails?
Yeah, getting really, really up close. Yeah, I think I should probably ask you to investigate a mystery, shouldn't
I? Okay.
Give you some questions you can ask.
That's a 7, and it's sharp, right, for investigating mystery?
I would assume
yes,
so.
Which is +2. That's a 9.
Cool. So that gets you to, you're with a mixed success.
I
think hold
ask one.
Yeah.
Can I ask, what was it going to do? Like, what was it trying to do?
Sure. Yeah. That's fine. Broadly, it's like, what was its intentions, right?
Yeah. Well,
so you're looking specifically at the ones that were killed and not eaten.
Yeah, specifically the entrail pictures.
Sure.
Not pictures.
So,
you know.
Spooky intestines.
Yeah. You notice that, right, so the way that these cows were killed is actually pretty... You're familiar with death.
I'm acquainted,
obvious reasons. You've seen a lot of corpses and murders in your short time as a ghost, both from being that, seeing what Cleo did to them, and also being a monster hunter for a bit. These cows were killed expertly. These were killed by somebody who knows what they're doing. The throats were slit very, very cleanly in the right way, so these cows probably died pretty quickly. Then the gut manipulation was done after the fact, but again, the stomachs were slit open expertly. It's not ragged. It's one clean cut. But the symbols themselves, they are... I mean, you've seen some cult symbols as well. Amateur work. You don't think these are actually anything arcane or... particularly, basically, these look spooky in the same way that sort of a Halloween costume looks spooky. It's trying, but you'll be damned if it actually has any sort of arcane power or occult power. So that's what you're getting is these people, they know about killing animals. They don't know much about the occult. I mean, what they were trying to do looked broadly like summon a thing. And from the evidence, I guess it worked. But they didn't really know what they were doing. So that's what you get.
Okay.
Do we reconvene?
So I was going to say maybe I'll look around for my little murder family, not my weird family, a little monster hunter family.
Yep, so that's fine. So it's pretty easy having, you know, you've got your story, you've held up your cover, so it's easy for you to sort of make your excuses and leave. Francis seems actually still like really, she's kind of asks, so what edition is it gonna come out in? Like, could we read it? Are we gonna get sent a copy?
Obviously I still have some investigations to do before I can write up the finished article. In the meantime, have you considered perhaps talking to a counsellor or
a counsellor? I don't know what's a, like the one of the village counsellors or they have like what do you mean by what?
Just somebody where you go and you visit them when you want to just talk.
Oh.
And they just sit there and they listen to you.
What, like a shrink from the?
Yes. A bit like, yes.
Yeah,
but
like
not...
people on TV, they get shrinks, right?
Sort of.
Okay. Mm. Why?
Because you just seem to like talking about yourself and your life, and I just thought it might sort of... You just
Betty.
Seem like you could benefit.
The best. This is why I adore Betty. She's just so cruel.
Okay.
She's trying to help.
Yeah, I think it's willful.
I suppose... Yeah, maybe I'm not as... kind of, yeah, okay, maybe. Right.
Betty!
He sort of looks a bit confused. I'll bear that in mind, I guess. looks very thoughtful.
I wish Sam was around to see this. They'd have been so impressed.
But yeah, so having maybe made Francis reconsider his place in the world, you leave.
Okay.
Right, so next time, okay... I am your aunt, and you're mine.
That's not how it. You know,
you can
be my drop niece. This tough act. You know,
it's not an act. Like, I'm hard as nails.
I poke you.
I hit a man with a car.
You did, and I am very grateful for that. But I did have to rescue you immediately afterwards.
You didn't rescue me. You helped finish it off. I basically had it.
Oh,
how'd you do, Betty? I saw you made someone cry. That was cool.
Well. I think we found out a start. I have to say, I think this might be a sort of cultist, well, like a beginner's cultist situation. You know, my first cultist set situation. Clearly, someone was trying to summon something or bring about some great evil or do a ritual, but it hasn't... Well, it's amateur. It's clumsy. I've seen better work.
No, right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they did manage to, like, get a, like, summit, though, because it killed all the cows, didn't it? And then
well,
ate them all.
Here's the thing. Did it? Either somebody did an amateur ritual and summoned something that killed all the cows, or something came and killed all the cows, and then somebody did the ritual under cover of the dead cows.
Or the cows did it themselves. No, let's go with yours. I like yours better.
But they were very good at killing cows, so we might want to look at butchers or abattoirs or... Well, those are the two things that I can think of that kill cows.
Farmers.
Farmers, of course! The third thing that kills cows, the farmers.
I think we should stay around and see what we can find out under cover of darkness. And maybe visit the library. Maybe there's something in there that could tell us about the history of the place and any historical cults.
Books, I hate books. Out of character, I'm assuming we picked this up and I've just missed it as a player, not as a person. How long has it been since the cows? Was it like last night or?
Couple of days.
Couple of days.
So like not last night, night before. The Argus story was the day after. Then you read that and then have come over.
That's what I thought. I mean, we could stake it out, but I mean, if it hasn't come back in 2 days, I don't think it's going to come back in three.
I don't know. Three is a very powerful number.
Is it?
Yes.
Is
because,
it?
Because of the Trinity.
So Sammy means she kind of turns to Betty with a yeah, but is it?
It's definitely worth a try.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Does this town even have a library? Is it big enough?
You don't know.
Betty's got a book.
Why don't we look for a book?
Sure, you can look for a book. That'll be sounds fun for you.
Cool, so we're looking for a book.
We're looking for a concentration of books.
Ah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Some bookshelf, maybe, or a case full of books.
I'm really tempted to split off and go see a butcher, because, again, it's, as Sam, I cannot imagine anything more boring than hunting books. I'm here to hunt monsters. Like, what's the point in running away with a car and a gun if you can't hunt monsters?
Would you like to have that conversation in character?
I'm going to. You ready? You're all strapped in.
Okay, yep. Everyone prepare ready. For an in-character conversation? We good? All right, 3, 2, 1, role play.
No, I'm going to the butcher's. I go to the butcher's.
The nuance. The drama.
I let you go to the butcher's because it's the middle of the day.
I was going to say, it's like midday.
I feel like there's only so much trouble you can get into. Like, maybe you'll buy a couple of sausages.
That'd be useful. Yeah. Can have that for dinner.
Cool.
Yeah. Burger's probably going cheap.
I'm going to say, so it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's like still afternoon. You've got a couple of hours left in sort of the working day, so nothing's closing or anything like that. So you can go find a butcher's, of which there is one on the main high street next to the pub. That's great. Meanwhile, what are Cleo and Betty sort of doing? Are you still hunting down that mythical...
Yeah, I think we're looking for a library if possible. That's okay. The dream.
So the biggest and most sort of administrative looking building in the place is the village hall. There's no library itself. You kind of go in there, maybe they've got some books. And lo and behold, they do have a small section, which is sort of about sort of the community, the history, you know, the village itself.
Okay, I'm going to go and pretend I'm into local history.
Cool. There is somebody, a curator? One of these people where it's not like completely clear if they have a specific job. You know, they're not like a receptionist, they're not like a janitor, they're just kind of... there, their job is to just be there.
Yeah. They're the village Nigel.
Yeah.
What's a village Nigel?
You know, he's like the old man who just has worked in the village hall for ages and he's really into like keeping the records. You know, he's the village Nigel.
Okay, yeah. I like it.
So yeah, I mean, he doesn't stop you or like really interact with you, but he's sort of in the corner, sort of pottering about, maybe doing some displays or cleaning up a bit or so. But lets you kind of get on with your research.
Just some general Nigeling.
Yeah.
Is there a thing here for researching?
This is still definitely investigator mystery, I think.
Okay.
Basically, the investigator mystery broadly allows you to ask questions of the situation.
Oh, yes, looking up old folklore in a library, it says. Here.
Literally.
There we go.
Well,
look, and you're literally in a folklore library. That's handy.
If we're both doing this, then do we both make a roll or do we make a helping role?
I feel like this would probably be a helping role.
Okay.
Who wants to be the primary actor?
Me.
Cool.
I'll be the helping.
Yeah, you kick those books' ass.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Or.
Oh.
Well.
That's okay.
Wait.
Yeah, so let's see what the result is.
No, that's a six. That
a
is
six.
A fail.
Okay, so that is currently a fail.
But you've got an understudy. Six. But I've got +2 sharp. So
okay, so
eight.
What does help out do?
Where
it is a specific move, so it will be in
when
there.
You help another hunter with a move they are making, roll plus cool. On a 10 plus, your help grants them +1.
Cool.
On a 7 to 9, your help grants them +1, but you expose yourself to trouble or danger. On a miss, you expose yourself to trouble or danger without helping.
I got 5, so not great.
Okay.
So you get in trouble.
I'm
and
now
don't
in
help
trouble
me.
And no use.
Right. Excellent. So I think what happens is Cleo is looking through the books, isn't really making much headway. So Betty, you're sort of hanging around, then go finally, okay, I'm going to help out. I'm going to need to help this. So you ask Cleo, without really thinking either of you, you say, oh, well, chuck me over one of those books. Cleo throws a book at you.
Uh-oh.
The book passes straight through you.
No.
You look up, standing there with a broom, mouth hanging open, staring straight at you. And I'm going to end the episode there.
It's a ghost.
Oh boy.
So that's there we go. It's a mild cliffhanger. It's a cliffhanger in a village hall because of an old man. But we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. It's the only way to get away scot free.
Right. Anyway.
All right.
See you later, everyone.
All right.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
became a monster hunter to monsters.
Okay,
I vocally slipped there, didn't I?
Look, I know we're not fans of the monsters.
No, but they're all horrible.
I love the fact that, well, we're going to have to pause there. Sorry, Larry. Alex just said on the podcast, so we're going to have to retake
actually
that.
For the first time, actually.
Look, I was going to say, you're always so hot on us for not swearing, and yet you have managed to be the first person, I think, to say
I believe
on air, like on air.
I believe so. I know that Sasha was the first to say. But I think I am the first. I am. Okay. Yeah.
Impressive. Well done.
Congratulations.
I'm ready to go again. I just would need to watch my speaking.
Would you like to hunt down a butcher's?
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.